are coming down to the 16th bowl. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Race the Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life.
Good morning. Welcome to the final Saratoga 2020 edition of Racing Across America. We have a nice show scheduled today, so happy you tuned in. A little bit later on, Capital OTV President John Signor will give us a little recap on OTV in the Saratoga 2020 season. The NYRA perspective will come from Pat McKenna from the New York Racing Association. We also have another taped piece with our friend Gary Contessa and our other friend Roddy Valente. Coming up at the top of the show, live and in the studio, as it were, in our 10th studio out here in front of Clare Court. One last visit from Tom Law. Tom jumped in on Wednesdays normally when we had some steeplechase action, with last week's steeplechase being postponed to today. Pulled Tom in to talk a little steeplechase and maybe a little recap of Saratoga and Kentucky Derby, what to look forward to coming up in the Saratoga special. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good to be back.
Yeah, happy to have you back. Unusual, but I'm happy, and I assume you are too, because the Saratoga special with the Clancy brothers, it kind of started maybe with a little steeplechase-centric feel to it. Sean, of course, a former steeplechase jockey, and I'm thrilled that they brought the race back, because I talked to Bill Gallo towards the end of last week, and he was talking, you know, about the Bill Gallo from the Steeplechase Association, the very condensed season and not nearly as much happening in the fall this year. So I'm glad with the last race at Saratoga they brought it back.
Absolutely. A good opportunity for these horses to run again for a nice purse.
Yeah.
$50,000 race, like you said. They rode it back from Wednesday when it was kind of canceled. I talked to Bill as well over the weekend, and he was like, you know, I'm really hoping I put it back on. I'm hoping we're going to be able to run it.
Yeah.
And then I didn't see it on Sunday, and I was like, oh, no. And I didn't think they'd put it Monday, but here we are on, you know, opening race on the 14-race card.
Yeah,
I mean, very historic here at Saratoga. A meet like no other, for sure.
Yeah. So it's kind of fun. The last day starts out with a little steeplechase.
Yeah.
And again, it is a salty race. Why don't we jump right into that? And then
we'll
also talk again about the special recap coming up, looking at Derby and the Saratoga season. We'll get some thoughts there as well. But and you'll also be on with Andy this morning, taking a look at this race as well, as they have an early talk of horses.
He comes on, I believe, at 10 a.m., so I've been given my orders from Andy to be there at 9:55. So I'll be there. I'm going to go right from here to there. It's not a far trip. Not even as long as the 2 3/8 steeplechase, not even close. So hopefully I won't be late.
Yeah, that's a great, it's not even as far as the race.
Yeah, it might not even be 3/8 of a mile.
It's close, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
We handicapped this earlier, and I said when the race, because I pulled up the my picks from the other day.
Yep.
But Elucidation, I thought that there was a horse that was in that I used over Iranistan. That horse didn't come back when the race was redrawn.
Right.
So I land on Iranistan. But with the 158 and the added distance, I'm a little bit dicey. Bodes Well is an interesting alternative to me. Noah and the Ark. But while we talk, we're going to pull up that race from August 13th, where Iranistan will get it done just by half a length for my man Jonathan Shepherd. So I said I landed there, but I have some trepidation. What are your thoughts this afternoon?
Well, I picked Iranistan. I'm going to go with the fact that, you know, he's fresh, extra week, almost a little bit of extra week, and the way he runs in here, I mean, just all class. He was a horse that, you know, they had very, very high hopes for 2 years back. He had a little bit of a, you know, rocky season last year, and I'm hoping that maybe, you know, his races this year, is, you know, he pulled up in the one race, but then he came back and ran kind of his race last time out in the at this same level. It's kind of like that handicap division where they kind of put these horses on different ratings, and he fits in here. He's obviously the class of this group, in my opinion. But like you said, bodes well. I kind of like the setup with him a little bit. The 2 3/8. He'll be very fresh. I mean, he ran
148.
Yep. 10-pound break.
And I said earlier, no disgrace finishing third behind Snap Decision.
Not at all.
The way he had horses.
Yeah,
run.
Snap Decision, Galway Kid. Those are really good horses in that novice stakes division. So this is a little bit of a drop in class for him as well. Leslie Young, of course, this is a very similar move that she won the Turf Riders with. And going to be a factor in here. I went with Jack Fisher's, one of Jack Fisher's horses in the third spot, new member. Who you know ran a fourth in the Iranistan race? Maybe hope that extra little bit of time kind of got him a little bit of freshness. He does have to carry 156. He's going to take the blinkers off. Maybe that'll make him a little less keen. I hope we'll see. And you mentioned Noah in the Ark. You know, interesting horse making his first start since July 2019.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the layoff, I would be all over that horse.
I know he's won several times over the jumps. Kind of an X factor. I don't know a whole lot about him, but just looking at his form, some of his races early on in his career were a little spotty, but as he got a little older, he got a little better. Of course, now he's been in America for a long time now, so we'll have to see. Yeah, you mentioned Taper Tantrum was another horse that was in this race last time. That was a Jonathan Shepherd horse. Was going to be coupled with Iranistan. He's not in, and Go Get the Basil is actually in here. Former flat horse, you know, New York bred. And won last time at Great Meadow and is stepping up a little bit out of that lower handicap division into this tougher handicap division, but gets in at 146.
I mean, my man Shepherd.
Yeah, he's been up here before. Yeah, and for Shepherd. So Shepherd's pretty loaded in here.
Yeah.
He'll be strong. So, yeah, it's a good race.
Yeah, it's fun. And, again, I'm glad they brought it back because, as I say, that the condensed steeplechase season, kind of unfortunate.
Yeah.
Byproduct of the whole coronavirus thing, but we do get one more shot at them up here at Saratoga. And I said, when I teed you up, I said, what do you like this afternoon? It's not this afternoon. It's breakfast with the jumpers, 11:30.
Yeah.
11:30 post time.
Bloody Mary time, I call it. Yeah.
There you go. First, as we get into some other topics covered by the Saratoga special, you and I were talking as you sat down. We always talk about the handicappers because your main handicapper, John Shapazian, been one of the leaders over the past couple of seasons up here at Saratoga. He's sitting at 130. God
That's
bless
strong.
Him. I'm feeling like I'm having a strong meet. And I said when you sat down because I looked yesterday, I was kind of curious. You and I tied at 118.
Yep.
We're both looking. At least I am. I want two. I want at least two today.
I want to get to 120 would be a great number. Yeah. You know, I always used to always set the benchmark at 100.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe there's a lot more races now, so 100 maybe a little bit more attainable. Not saying it's a guarantee by any means, but yeah, John has 130, like you said. Last year he had 132. There was actually, at the end of the meet, that we're actually going to have more races this year than we had last year. Of course, we lost a day last year, so that had and lost half a card too. So there was only 38 and a half days basically last year. So
just looking,
we're at like 404 already, I think.
395.
Okay, we're gonna have 14 more.
Yeah, so it'll be.
It's gonna be similar.
409.
Yeah, I think it was 404 last year, maybe.
Okay.
I was looking the last couple days. We put our picks on thisishorseracing.com on days we don't do an addition. So they're up there today, and I was looking at last year's totals just to kind of see. I improved, actually, quite a bit. I was like 104, 108 or something last year.
I think I was right in that ballpark, too.
Yeah, so I'm like, hey, I improved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
John hasn't improved yet, but he has a little bit higher higher standard, I guess, than you and I do.
If I'm within 10 of him at when things wrap up, I'll feel pretty good. I got one on him yesterday. I had five. I think he had four yesterday.
Yeah.
John Shapazian worth picking up. And obviously, you can go to the website, thisishorseracing.com, and get his picks for today.
I want to see the maybe a job for you and I to do. We have one more edition, actually, of the Saratoga Special on Saturday. Digital on This Is Horse Racing, which you got Kentucky Derby, closing weekend, you know, maybe a little bit about the September sales that are going on, kind of a wrap up, put a you know, tie a bow around it. I'd like to see, and maybe you and I can do this, the totals for the whole area. I'd like to know where you and I stand.
I used to do that for Equidaily. when there were like 24. Yeah. It's now much more condensed.
Right.
I'll look it up.
I'll have to grab, some of the papers today or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, obviously the TU, they had the handicappers. There's still somebody doing it, the New York Post. Mm-hmm. The Gazette has a handicapper. You guys have handicappers.
Saratogian has one. Yeah. I've seen that.
So, that's going to be interesting to see how it winds up.
Yeah.
Because, like I say, it's been a good – I've been happy with the meet. If I get the two more, you're averaging three a day. You're doing okay.
I agree. So, yeah.
Just before we let you go, again, you are the president of the National Turf Writers and Broadcasters Association. Yes. We talked over the last couple of weeks about the different situation down at Churchill with the Derby. Have you talked to the pool people? How did the media go over the Derby weekend?
Yeah, I've been in touch with them. I was on their text exchange. They kind of got together every morning and started to figure out what they were going to do. And I mean, these guys just did a heck of a job. I've never seen so much sort of good content come out of such a small group. I mean, just pumping it out every single day. Right up until even Sunday, they're still just churning it out. They went and did the follow-up stuff, and it really enhanced a lot of coverage for people. Like I mentioned last week when you had me on, Churchill Downs limited the amount of people that could be in the stable area. They basically limited it to five reporters. So the Turf Writers Association came up with the five sort of pool reporters and sort of tackled it the way a lot of people cover the White House and politics and stuff. Really uncharted waters for horse racing, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know that it's ever happened before. And this team, Jenny Reese, Alicia Hughes, Nicole Russo, Byron King, and Greg Hall, I mean, they just did an amazing job. Video, audio, print stuff, color, you know, added a little bit of everything. And, of course, enhanced their coverage. We use a lot of it on our Saturday edition. Sean was back at home in Virginia. Sean Clancy, he went back and just went through everything. And we found little nuggets and little facts and little quotes from every horse in the whole race, which we do quite often in our Travers Day editions. We're like, let's just take the Travers Day edition approach. I wrote a little intro to the Derby, and then Sean, you know, did the full analysis. It ended up covering like four or five pages in the edition. It was cool.
I had Jenny on Friday, and I tipped my cap to her because they were pumping out the good video content. Yeah. Yeah, they had some really nice stuff. They did a great job.
She's great.
The wind came out of the sails a little bit when Tislelaw ran second.
But, yeah, at least in this area, for sure. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was... I said the other day, I think I wrote it in a story, you know, basically a no-excuse second. I mean, he sort of ran his race. I mean, didn't quite have the same...
Top of the stretch, you thought he was going to go by, and he ran well. I mean, Authentic comes over the 105, that gives him probably a 103 buyer, and so, you know.
Yeah, no shame in defeat. I mean, you look at Authentic, when we were in February, March, I mean, we were talking about Authentic as the number one Derby horse. Yeah. Not necessarily Tislelaw yet, until his Florida Derby... But it was either one, and you know, I mean, you had three of the top four choices were in the Superfecta, you know, with Honor AP ran his race too. So, you know, pretty formful race. I mean, it's interesting how fast they ran. I mean, the track is so much different Churchill in the summer.
That is worth noting. The calendar difference makes a difference as well. That Keeneland summer meet, the times were crazy, and I said, there's a difference between April and weather and whatnot
and
running
October.
In July.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, fastest Kentucky Oaks, you know, I mean, what we saw there. I mean, and formful there, too. I mean, you know, the right horses were showing up, for sure, at Churchill.
All right, Tom, we got to wrap it up. But once again, we appreciated the visits, and there'll be one more edition if people go online. Saratoga Special, that's Saturday, right?
That's right, Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 12th. Yeah, it's already crazy. It's already the weekend. Yeah, but yeah, this is horseracing.com, and then we'll have that edition up there. And then we'll have stuff throughout the rest of the year. So follow us. You know, we haven't made a total plan yet, but I'd like to maybe see the 2020 special make its return. Maybe Preakness weekend, Breeders' Cup weekend. We'll see. Don't hold my feet to the fire on that, but
we'll keep checking. Yeah. We'll keep checking it. Tom Law from the Saratoga Special. Again, it's been a little bit of a different season. Normally, we can pick it up here or around town, but this year it was online. And all the issues are archived as well. This is horseracing.com, so you can go through the entire Wednesday, Saturday editions they put out throughout the meet. Highly recommended. And another new edition, fresh edition, coming up this coming Saturday. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with Racing Across America. Stay tuned.
Come on. No track? No problem. There's no better place to follow the Saratoga race meet than Capital OTB and OTB TV. With our live TV shows from the Saratoga backstretch and our live remotes, all the information you need is right here. Each and every day of the Saratoga meet, we talk with all the top trainers, jockeys, handicappers, and racing personalities. So stay with Capital OTB and OTB TV this racing season and win more.
I got it. Watch me. I got it. Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got a move that tells me what to do. If you don't, brothers and sisters, then you won't know what it's all about.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised a little bit earlier, another take piece from our friend Gary Contessa, talking to our friend Roddy Valente, a prominent New York-based owner. Of course, he had the great Bustin' Stones, and now that one is his sire, on the sire side of things, and still producing some nice runners for Roddy and others. So up next, Gary Contessa and Roddy Valente.
It's Gary Contessa with Capital OTB at the barn of Bruce Levine on this beautiful, blustery Saratoga morning, and we managed to catch up with one of the really top benevolent good guys in this game, owner Roddy Valente. And Roddy, you know, for our viewers, you probably can't drive upstate New York 10 minutes and not see something that says Valente on it. I mean, I get passed on the left, it's a Valente, passed on the right, I pass your gravel pit. Roddy, you're a real fixture upstate New York. Tell us about Roddy Valente. Tell us about Roddy Valente, what you do, and your initial roots into the game, how you got into this game.
Well, what you're referring to earlier, Gare, is I have a quarry business and we have a gravel business, but our company is RJ Valente, and that actually pays for this bad habit that I have being racehorses. And I started my business on my own. It's the 33rd year, but the hardest thing that I probably did in life and in business was open up a quarry. I know you live out that way, but when you go into a side of a mountain and you start from scratch, it isn't like, you know, you got a bulldozer and you blow a little sand out of your way and you build a road. When you go into a quarry, you blast every step of the way, and it was murder for the first probably 6-7 years, but it's been rewarding now for me, thank God.
Well, and that springboards you into the racing game, which is the polar opposite of owning a quarry. Tell us about your first introduction into the racing game.
Garrett, it was funny. It was 1992. A good friend of mine, John Michaels, had called me, and he's passed away since, God rest his soul. But he called me, he said, "Rod, you want to claim a horse?" And I had a couple of dabbed in with the harness game, dabbed in a little bit there. I understood that, but I knew nothing about it. I couldn't even tell you what they run a furlong in. So we looked around and weren't even eligible to claim. We wanted to claim something opening day. And I went and chased a couple of trainers around for the first 2 weeks of the meet. And finally, it took us about a month, and I found a horse with Dennis Brida, and we ended up buying a horse. And John, he got bored with everything, so I took Dennis and we flew down to Ellis Park, and there was a New York bred down there that a jock agent had told me about. So we ran it down, went down, watched it work, and brought the horse home. And it was a New York bred, which New York bred meant nothing to me at the time. So my trainer at the time had said, "Geez, you want to run him in open company?" I says, "You could run him anywhere. You could run him on the moon. I just want to see him run." So we ended up going in open company the last Saturday of the meet, at that meet, and he got beat ahead up here, and I was hooked from that moment on. And then he went down to Belmont, ran against restricted horses, New York breds, and won by 7 lengths with Richie Migliori on him. So at that point, it had the hook right in me.
And that horse's name was what, Gravel Pit?
Gravel King.
Gravel King.
Yeah.
And a lot of your horses have that tone. carry that stones and tone and gravel, and I think it kind of sets you apart. I could see the name of a horse, and I'm like thinking, that's probably Roddy Valenti's horse.
It helped out when we got Bustin' Stones and he became a stallion, and then a lot of names. I'll get phone calls during the week. Hey, Rod, how about using this name? Or somebody's out at dinner, and they relate to Bustin' Stones and the quarry, and it's cheap advertising for me, but I enjoy it. And most of my friends, they come up with better names than I do. But
you know, one thing we've noticed about you is you seem to bring in a lot of horses, unlike other owners. Whose eyes are finding those horses? Is that something you're doing yourself?
Going back to like bringing the horses back in from California, years ago it was much easier. Now, I mean, you could rob a bank easier than you get a horse out of California, unfortunately. And I think I was fairly lucky at it and got rolling with it. I mean, I claimed so many nice horses and turned stake horses out of them, just bringing them in from California a number of times. You know, once Bustin became a stallion, I was trying to help his book, so to speak. And I got tied in with Dr. Belinsky, and he stands him down at Waldorf. And now we have probably 12 or 13 broodmares that we have accumulated with Jerry and a good friend of mine, Dr. Alford. And, you know, it's funny, but you think about it. If you got 13, the next year you got another 13. In 3 years, you know, I probably have 60, over 60 horses right now. And they're spread out, like you said. A lot of them are at the farms. They're being broke or, you know, they're laid up or what have you. But it's a fun game. It became a passion for me now. So
it is a passion for you, and it's good to have you in the game. Tell us about the origins of Bustin' Stones. He's your most famous horse. He's gone on to have a phenomenal career as a stallion. Tell us how you acquired him, and tell us a little bit about his racing career.
It's funny you talk about bringing horses home. I brought his mother home, and I claimed her for $50,000 out in California, and she never ran for me. She came back, and she was lame, so I bred her. I had Gus Schoenborn at the time was standing City Zip, and I bought a share in City Zip, so I just bred the mare to City Zip. She's a sure thing. His name is Gare, and it's ironic, but like, you know, you're not supposed to breed to the same stallion. I said, I threw that out the door because it was a free stud fee for me. So on the second time that we had him bred through Bustin' Stones. And it was so funny because Jimmy Croupy, everybody knows Croupy. Croupy was breaking all my babies down at the farm. So I'll never forget it. He calls me up one Saturday. He says, Roddy, who's this little midget you sent down here? He says, what do you want me to do with him? I said, why, what's the matter? He says, well, you know, he's so small. He says, I'll never be able to get him to a sale for you, so let me train on him a little bit and see what he can do. And I'll never forget it. I can tell you right where I was at the time. He calls me back probably about 4 months later. He said, Rod, he says, you got a freak down there. I says, which one? You know, because I had probably 7-8 horses down at the farm. He says, that little midget? Well, he worked the fastest 3/8 on my track. He worked 34-2. And he says, what a freak. So I got excited. First minute I get off the phone with Jimmy and I call up Bruce. He says, Rod, don't get too excited. He says, you know, might be a little BS going on. He says, but I'm going down to the farm next Saturday because it was around the time when they had the sales. And he says, let me watch him work and I'll let you know what he looks like. So he calls me up. He said, Rod, this horse is a freak. I mean, a freak. He said, he worked 34 again. He said, they never let him run. And he said, he galloped out the right way. So we ended up bringing him up, and he got hurt, and we had to take a chip out of him. And I was so disappointed because I kind of was really high, but we took the time, and then we started him late, and Ramon Dominguez rode him for the first time. And I'll never forget Bruce telling me, and we were all over at the teletheater. I had a bunch of guys there that day. And he runs for the first start. And Bruce said, Rod, I could either breeze him 2 more times or just run him in this book. And he's not going to be fit. he broke, he must have won by 8 lengths, and Ramon never let him run. I mean, he was wrapped up on him. But we ended up running him in stakes, and then he won, you know, he won the General George, and then he won the Grade 1 Carter, which was Bruce's first Grade 1 and mine, and it was really like a love affair with him.
On the inside, it's Bustin' Stones, who continues to do battle here with Executive Fleet. King of the Roxy, 3 lengths behind them. Spring at last, and Not for the Money are 4th and 5th, about 5 lengths from the front. The half was 45 flat, and now they're coming to the top of the stretch. Bustin' Stones still slugging it out with Executive Fleet. They head for home together. Executive Fleet, Bustin' Stones is dead game. Bustin' Stones holds on. Executive Fleet still doing his best, but his best is second best now. Closing boldly is Premium Wine. They're coming down to the finish. And it is Bustin' Stones, Executive Fleet, and Premium Wine. Bustin' Stones holds on. Bustin' Stones a neck. Executive Fleet, Premium Wine, and Lord Snowden.
You know, the biggest feat for him was two jockeys rode him, and two jockeys I have the most respect for in the game was Edgar Prado and Ramon Dominguez. And they both said he was never headed in a race, and anybody ever had the lead at any pole in all six of his starts. He had a heart bigger, as big as his body. And, you know, I could have kept racing him, but I knew I wouldn't have been doing the right thing with him. You know, and I probably from a standpoint, being selfish, I know we made the right opinion and retired him at 6. And it's so much fun for, like, myself, my family, because we follow, like, all of his offsprings, no matter where they're running. I mean, they're running all over the country. And it's like watching one of your kids playing in a basketball game. You know, you just get excited. So,
And today, you have horses with a few different trainers, and things look like they're going pretty good.
You know, Garrett, I feel bad for a lot of the trainers right now. And, you know, people said, you know, I always have horses with Bruce unless he fires me, so to speak. But, you know, I think I've got 4 here or 5 here right now. But I feel bad for a lot of the old timers that are struggling. So, like, you know, like Carlos Martin's got a horse, Dominic Schettino, Pat Reynolds, you know, I can go on. I'm trying to help the guys that are basically struggling right now. So, I'm just trying to help the little guy a little bit.
Roddy, there's another side of you that we haven't talked about, and you are one of the most benevolent owners that I've ever met. And you have a lot of things. You have a turkey giveaway. Tell us about your turkey giveaway.
You know, it started about 6 years ago, and my little grandson went through, he had eye cancer, which, and he's come through it, and we dealt with it, and I sat with my daughter, and we brought him down to Sloan Kettering, and we met the doctor there, and we were so thankful, and he was basically cured. So I just said to my sister, my daughter, Daniela, at the time, I said, geez, we got to do something. We got to do something just to start, give back and do more. We're not doing enough. We kind of try to do our share, but I said, we're not doing our share. So I don't know. I just came up with, we were doing a turkey giveaway, and I'll never forget it. We started off with like 600 turkeys the first year. It scared to death that, you know, we didn't get the word out. And I was going all over through downtown Albany because it was at the OTB on Central Avenue. OTB helps publicize this, and they let us use the parking lot and all that, and we were scared to death we were going to get stuck with turkeys, right? I got a trailer load of turkeys, right? It's, oh God. Then what's it do? It starts snowing, naturally. It's not going to make it easy on us. It's the Wednesday before, and Garrett, the people were lined up down Central Avenue, which we had no idea. So it started to snow, and I didn't want to see them poor people, you know, wait out in the cold. So, like, it was supposed to start at 11, so we went 10:30, John said, geez, why don't we get it started? We did, and the turkeys were gone by like 12 o'clock, so it was like bingo. So, and it just really caught on, and now we got it up to like 2,000 turkeys, and I have a lot of friends that are involved, and they're donating like everything, vegetables. We kind of have a full package for the people when they come, and it's just so heartwarming to see these people getting a turkey meal on Thanksgiving, so.
And it goes back to you care about the trainers who are struggling, you care about people who are struggling, and it's just amazing. And we are blessed to have a guy like you in this game.
I appreciate that.
Roddy, we can't thank you enough for spending time with us today and giving us this wonderful insight into your life and into your benevolence. And this is Gary Contessa with Capital OTB, with Roddy Valente in the barn of Bruce Levine, and thankful for a guy like Roddy Valente. Everybody, have a great Sunday.
Thanks to Gary Contessa, and thanks to our friend Roddy Valente as well. All right, last day of the meet, and so wanted to get some perspective from the New York Racing Association. Who better to talk to than the Director of Communications, Pat McKenna. We had David O'Rourke in to kind of kick the meet off. He was on with Brian early in the meet. I had Pat about the middle of the meet to get a little recap as we're about halfway. And now as we wrap things up, we'll get some perspective as well. Pat, good morning.
Good morning.
And why don't we just get right into it? It's day 40, 39 days in the book. As we came into the meet, a lot of folks, given the situation, no fans, why not stay down in New York? And I think the Racing Association made the point and made the decision. Saratoga is such a brand and attracts such attention. It was worth coming up here. And I have to say, with 39 days in the books, I guess you have to feel you made the right decision.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Handel's been strong, and we talk about Handel mostly because it's a really good barometer for the quality of the racing on track, for the depth of the fields, for the fact that horse players continue to show great enthusiasm for the Saratoga product. I think as we approach the end of the meet, we're filled with an immense sense of gratitude to the city of Saratoga Springs for welcoming us here with open arms. We started conversations with them and the leadership here in the city and in the county in April and May. It just goes to show you how far we've come here in Saratoga, across the state. I noticed yesterday 30 straight days of an infection rate below one, yeah, which is testament to everyone doing the right thing. But I think that when you're engaged in those conversations, you also quickly realize that we would never want to imply that this was, that Saratoga was optional. This is, you know, the uncertainty that we would have been talking about today had we stayed at Belmont. Would have been immense, and it has been a successful meet on certain levels. We miss our fans dearly every single day. It's certainly not the same, but we came here because we were convinced that the Saratoga brand is powerful, and in order to stabilize the purse account in the absence of casino funds, welcome news the other day that the casinos will be opening on September 9th, so it's really important, and important for the hundreds of small businesses that are sustained through the purse account, through the awards that they're seeing in the afternoon. So all things considered, you know, I think it was the right decision, and that's borne out by some of the numbers you see. So here we are.
I like that. Saratoga is not optional. I like that homer kind of, because this is where I kind of cut my teeth on the game, and I still, Saratoga, I'm still a fan when I drive in the morning and the horse is working out behind, and I know how lucky I was to be able to be here live, and hopefully we brought a little bit of the feeling to all of you who weren't able to do it. But we talked during the meet, and as the meet is now wrapping up, just reiterate the cooperation that since the virus and as the tracks have opened up, Belmont a little bit earlier, and now the 40 days of Saratoga, the cooperation that was required and was received from the horsemen, the jockey, the yep, owners. You know, we had talked to Will from NYTHA,
sure,
at the beginning of the meet. We talked with Humberto Chavez and Nick, ran into him from the chaplaincy, and Best Backstretch Employees service team. We had Michael Dubb in here and Libby Imperio, who have the backstretch at the Anna House down at Belmont, and they're going to have a version up here at Saratoga. But again, everybody played, I think, an essential role in kind of making things work over the past few months.
Absolutely. It's necessary to rewind the clock back to those dark days in March. I remember when we had our first positive case at Belmont Park. It was a backstretch worker. We immediately suspended racing at Aqueduct to focus all of our energy and attention on caring for that community living in a dormitory environment, not without its challenges. And truly the best of, you know, this is a community, and I think that was fully demonstrated by the teamwork and the collaboration that that was required to tame the virus when it came to Belmont Park, to set up quarantine facilities, to care for the folks that had tested positive, and to transition from there into live racing on June 3rd. You know, we're so unique here in that we're a business that's been operating throughout the pandemic, and then even more to the point, come June 3rd, we've been in offices, we've been showing up to work each and every day, and obviously that pales in comparison with the commitment and dedication shown by the horsemen. I mean, literally at the barns every single morning, come what may, including this virus. So the work of NYFA and NYRA and everybody that's involved in order to keep the community safe. And then here transitioning up to Saratoga, again, conversations with local city and state health officials, health experts. You know, we went above and beyond by testing everyone before they came up to Belmont. And if there's anything to be proud of, it's that we've come through here to day 40 with no positive cases of COVID-19. That's as important for the continuous operation of the meet that we were able to run uninterrupted as it is for the community at large, because we're part of this community, no more so at any racing venue in the country than right here at Saratoga Racecourse when you're in the middle of a residential area less than a mile from downtown. So everyone's done the right thing, and that's really important. We'll continue to do that as we look ahead to the Belmont Fall Meet.
Yeah, and that's worth reemphasizing, because when the meet started, I think there was some local conversation of what happens when these people come up from what was kind of the hot spot earlier in the pandemic down in the New York City area. But you guys put the protocols in place, the required tests to start things out. As I've come through, I've gotten temped every day, masks up when we're social distancing, on the track. And I will say, given the situation and talking about cooperation, from the horseman side, the jockeys and the trainers, they've really worked well with your office, because normally, in a normal year, a race is run, a stakes race, and there's a little scrum in the winner's circle as the media wants to get quotes afterwards. And obviously, we couldn't do that with the social distancing. So you move things out of the winner's circle and put up a little kind of a press gaggle area. And then Keith McCalmont, who went on a couple of weeks ago, he would wrangle over jockeys and trainers, and they were very accommodating. I think kind of realizing you got to get the word out on the game, and given the situation we're in, that was the way it had to be done.
Absolutely, and it sort of shows you that little things, big things, this virus has impacted every aspect of the operation, even our ability to talk to the riders and participants after the race. But no more important year to have a robust media presence on site than this year. We felt it was important from the very beginning of Belmont Park to do everything necessary in order to have on-site press, because these are historic times, and the only way the public can access and have a view into what's going on other than the TV product is through the media. So we take that as a responsibility in the press office, and we think that it's been, all things considered, relatively smooth.
Yeah, and I'm in that auxiliary press box in the Turf Terrace. I may be reserving that table for next year.
It's been a common sentiment.
I kind of like that spot. You mentioned TV. The Fox show has done well up here. Expanded coverage, the whole card. And I just I tip my cap. I had Eric Donovan in the other day. I tip my cap to the team there, because I think it's great for you guys. I've been saying it since it came out, but maybe this year more so. I think it's just great for the game of horse racing that it's able to spread the word. And that's another reason to come up here to Saratoga.
That's right.
Because for the new people who are jumping into the game, maybe given the situation, to be able to watch the great racing here at Saratoga, I think, again, just has been a bonus for the horse racing game in general.
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, I know, just anecdotally speaking, I have some friends that are sports fans, will play the races handful of times a year, upstate New York folks, and they're much more apt to tune in to watch Saratoga than they are any other racetrack in America. And I think to have the exposure on FS1, on FS2, the Travers, for example, on Big Fox, it really good for the game, has to be beneficial. I've heard Tony say this repeatedly. TV, more television coverage is never a bad thing. It can only lead to increased exposure for this beautiful place, for this beautiful sport. And we've seen that folks have responded really well to that.
14 races today. Do want to mention the mandatory pay in the Empire, $558,000 in the carryover. That will balloon up significantly, so plenty of options for this afternoon to get out with a little money in your pocket. But coming up on September 18th, Friday, September 18th, a little bit of a break, and I'm sure you guys in the press office and the rest of the folks are looking forward to maybe a little bit of a break. I said at the beginning, it seems like the situation this year might have made the work a little bit harder for you guys in the press office, so maybe a deserved break, but give us a little preview coming in to Belmont. And I noticed I have the page right here handed out, protocols for jockeys. So, you know, we're still in the midst of this pandemic. Yep. Protocols continue as you go down to Belmont.
Sure, yeah, and you mentioned that we were just talking about television. The prospect of now, as the show is dramatically increased in terms of hours, the technology behind it, to get all of this equipment down to Belmont for the traditional Friday opening, incredibly challenging. So it'll benefit, hopefully, the horsemen. Everyone can have a little bit of a breather here before we open 1 week from Friday, September 18th. Yesterday, we announced some slight updates to the jockey protocols. It still will remain a closed bubble. The regular NIRA riders will be allowed to leave and ride other places. When they return, they'll be subjected to multiple tests over the course of 5 days and then be isolated within the jockey room. Just again, to prioritize health and safety, we're still going through this. There still are areas where it's a much bigger problem than luckily it is here in New York. We'll be closed to out-of-town riders. These are sacrifices. We never want to deprive anyone of economic opportunity. But at the same time, just like here, our focus is on running the safest meet possible. And we need to keep those jockeys safe and be focused on that. In terms of owners, very similar to here at Saratoga, 10 owners per horse. All will need to have a valid New York State Gaming Commission license, and we'll have a dedicated area outside for them to watch the races. Belmont Park is a beautiful place all year round, but especially in the fall. So look forward to seeing some folks downstate, and also looking forward to having a little bit of a break in between. I think it's much needed. We've actually been discussing it with the horsemen, with NYTHA, for many years. I mean, on a variety of different levels, it makes good sense, and this year it made even more sense.
I'm guessing you guys want fans sooner rather than later, but the fan issue is probably more up to the state than you. I mean, you guys are just waiting for state okay to kind of come up with when those kind of things can
happen.
That's
right, and there are some complications. Even, you know, people will look at that casino decision and say, well, what about Aqueduct? The casinos have had to make significant investments to install the HVAC that's required by the state in order to open. Our facility at Aqueduct may not be compatible with that kind of an HVAC system. It's a much older building. We'll see what that brings, but you're right. The state has done a good job. It's, you know, people can certainly differ in their opinion, but the proof is in the numbers. And in New York State, this virus remains under control, probably at a level that folks didn't even expect. You look at New York City, New York City might be one of the safest places in America, considering where they came from three or four months ago. It's a testament to people behaving responsibly. And this too shall pass, but you know, we're looking forward to getting our fans back as quickly as possible. But at this point, gatherings more than 50 people are still not allowed. So we'll see what comes this fall as schools return, as things start to creak back to normal. We'll adjust as quickly as we possibly can.
And if I knock on wood, I'll meet long, but hopefully next year everybody joins
right.
us here.
And that, yeah. What an opening weekend that would be.
Yeah, you said it, that press conference at the beginning of the meet, you said, let's look forward to that opening day when next year when they'll be busting down the doors, and I think they will. I think people are ready to roll up here. So hopefully that happens next year. But again, you guys have done a great job this year keeping everybody safe, but the racing has gone on at a high quality. I mean, it's just so disappointing with the weather the way it was for the most of the meet, and the level of racing, the superstars we saw that folks couldn't come, but it was a great meet nonetheless, and congratulations to you and everybody, and pass on our thanks as well for OTB. We appreciate your hospitality, and again, hosting us and allowing us to be back here in our fabulous set in front of Clare Court. We really appreciate
it. And thanks again to the horse players for supporting this product through and through. It's been a great summer.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Pat, appreciate it. We will talk again.
Thank you.
All right, we'll head to a break. When we come back, John Signor, president of the Capital OTB, will give us the OTB perspective on Saratoga 2020 right after this. Stay tuned.
BetWare's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Thank you. I think what you guys are doing is awesome. You're doing a great job. Keep that game rolling.
Seth, you do a great job too. So thank you, and I appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate watching your show every day.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Closing day, Saratoga 2020. We got a little recap on the meet from Pat McKenna from the New York Racing Association. We will do the same from the Capital OTB side with the president of Capital OTB, John Signor. John, good morning.
Seth, how are we doing?
Very good.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
It's been 40 days. Well, longer than 40 days, but...
Happy to have 40 racing days. Happy to have you back in to kind of recap things after... again, I said to Pat, it was a really good meet, great weather and great racing, just a disappointment that the fans couldn't be here, but we were able to bring them. The parlors have been open for a while now, the race book, so we have offered venues where people can go. We have also had the remotes from around town here that people could come to and enjoy the racing and maybe pick up a little extra money with a bankroll promotion. So I think overall... disappointing that folks couldn't be here, but everybody has to be happy with Saratoga.
Yeah, I think, you know, under the circumstances, just first, congrats to Naira. I mean, they pulled it off, right? 40 days without an incident or a COVID positive, which is great. They created a bubble, and kudos to Dave O'Rourke and his team and Pat for pulling this off. From our vantage point, we're happy that they're here. We'd rather be at the track allow the fans to be at the track this year, but unfortunately that was not going to happen. But the racing was great. I mean, you know, they had one of the biggest races of the year with the Travers and Tis the Law, who put in a dominant performance, and, you know, just a little short in the Derby, and we were all rooting for Jack Knowlton and Saratoga Stables and that whole crew. So, but they're not done yet. I have a feeling they're not done yet. So so good luck to them going forward. I don't know if they're going to run in the Preakness or not. But obviously the Breeders' Cup is something they have in mind. So, but what a horse. And, you know, what a great you know, it kept the enthusiasm up. You know, the one thing I was a little worried about with the meet is, without any fans, were you going to be able to keep that momentum going for 8 weeks? And I think having the Derby on at the end of the meet kind of allow that to happen. So that was good. So from our vantage point, it was, you know, we're happy that Cizalaw is healthy and ran a great race, but we would have loved to have seen him win the Derby. But it's not the last we're going to be hearing from him, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was it took a little of the wind out of everybody's sails, I think, certainly in this area. But I've been saying it right along. He ran a great race. It was just Authentic ran a little bit better.
Yeah, and then, you know, then you had the two big horses. Even though they didn't win the Kentucky Oaks, you had Gamine and Swiss Skydiver, who both raced at Saratoga.
Both coming off of big efforts up here.
Yeah, so you saw a lot of the top horses on Derby Day raced at Saratoga, which is generally the case, but this year in particular. And, I mean, you know, when have you ever seen a horse, you know, Tizzle off 3 to 5 morning line? That's insane. I mean, in the Derby, that's the insane. Derby. So, great racing up here, great weather, you know, less maybe the last week and a half. Today's going to be a great day. But Naira did a fantastic job. The racing's been fantastic. And, you know, again, under the circumstances, you didn't have a lot of the out-of-towners come in per se. But with what they had, they created the best racing product they could. And we're happy they did at Capital OTB.
Yeah, it was a fun meet. Disappointing that the folks couldn't come. But next year, hopefully, stop by. Got a email a couple of days ago from Mike Callahan. He was in with me on the handicapper support for the marketing department, kind of summing up the promotions that went on during the meet.
Yeah.
And if you do not have a Capital OTB bet account, when you hear about the promotions and the money we handed out during the Saratoga meet, you'll be intrigued to get a Capital OTB bet account, because handed out a ton of money to our patrons through some really fun promotions.
And there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of options out there for people to bet, and we know that. And we appreciate the folks who bet with Capital OTB. I think we try to reward them with the best promotions, I think, of anybody. We had the bounty bet, which very unlikely, but we had a couple times where one bettor hit the pick five and took down the entire bounty bet. We had the Saratoga Syndicate, which was a pick five syndicate, I think, out of less one Saturday. I think they hit the pick five every Saturday. You know, we had the bankrolls at Diamond Club Grill, Stuart DeVoe. Thank you, Stuart, for your support. Saratoga National. And Bally's. So that was something we threw in, where we went out to the people, we went out to various venues in Saratoga and did live remotes, and it turned out very well. I mean, I think you did it, Seth.
Yeah.
Brian and Sully and everybody kind of did well with the bankroll, and we were able to give some money back there. I think all told we gave back over $20,000 in just promotions. Yeah. Not to mention, and that's not even including a lot of the other promotions we do, but in the top line stuff that you've probably been seeing on Capital OTB Daily, that's pretty good, and we're happy to do it. And we got rewarded because we had new accounts sign up. You know, obviously with no fans at the track and various facilities being closed, you know, the casino and the racino and things like that, we obviously got more action than probably would have otherwise received. And it was good. You know, we had a solid meet, and we thank all our bettors and all our supporters and Capital OTB patrons. I mean, you know, when you bet with us, what you get is you get the TV channel. You get us giving you, you know, and thanks to Naira for allowing us to be here. But I think they benefit from us showing, you know, 2-3 hours of programming every morning live from the track, promoting their product. And I'm sure they opened up a slew of accounts as well under these very crazy conditions with no spectators, but we had a solid meet, and it doesn't get said enough, but we thank all our bettors, we thank all our patrons, we try to put out the best promotions we can, and we try to do the best coverage we can of the meet. And then, you know, the thing about Capital OTB is we're 365, 7 days a week, you know, 24 hours a day. We're not ending now. We have, you know, today Kentucky Downs opens, and they're going to be running for another week and a half. Then you have you know, Churchill opens, and then Belmont opens, and then Santa Anita opens. Queens played on Saturday. That's right. So there's a lot going on post Saratoga. I know a lot of our fans think racing ends during when Saratoga ends, but it doesn't. A lot of the horses you saw here, a lot of the horses you bet on during the Saratoga meet are going to be racing at Belmont and throughout the rest of 2020. So we hope you stay with us, and we hope you you continue to wager through Capital OTB and enjoy the coverage that we bring to you.
Yeah, and on the coverage, normally during a normal year when I head over to the front side, I get a lot of feedback from people who are, oh, I like the morning programming and whatnot. I said during the handicapper support earlier, I got a text from my friend Sam out in Buffalo who said, I really like the programming all meet long. He's watching via the computer out in Buffalo, which people are able to do. You can watch online and enjoy all the morning programming. But I haven't gotten as much feedback this year, but still downtown, walking around or at the supermarket, I've heard the feedback from people. And so, you know, hats off to you and the board of directors who have continued the tradition of our morning programming here. Even though this year, as we came closer and closer to the meet, we were kind of trying to figure out how's it going to work. I think we made it work very well. Hopefully we brought the track a little bit closer to people for the folks that couldn't be here. We still have the trainers plugged in and whatnot, some of the industry folks. So I think the morning programming has once again served its purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, the handicappers report, where you had, you know, Sully doing play of the day and the big A coming in, Stabile with the play of the day. They actually both did very well on their plays of the day, as did everybody, you know, Mike, yourself, Anthony, Brian. The whole crew did terrific work as well. Racing Across America, you know, you the daily grind, getting people in here and getting the interviews. I mean, we were probably a little, I won't say laid back, but we weren't as aggressive trying to get to the barns and things like that because of the COVID issue. So we kind of let the meat come to us, if you will. But still got some great interviews. Brian on, Jack Knowlton. You were there at the Belmont when he won the Belmont with the Sacatoga folks. Brian had a great interview with Jack where he went race by race with Tisdale. I thought that was actually really good. That was great stuff. Just everybody, you know, Loose on the Lead with yourself and Steve, providing great insights and kind of looking at the big stakes races on Saturday and looking at the Derby and looking at, you know, leading into the Derby. So just great programming. Tom Law coming on and helping with the steeplechase races and giving his insights was great. I think the programming was very good. And I hope from the fans' vantage point, we were able to bring, you know, some of Saratoga to viewers who obviously couldn't be up here. And I obviously heard from people who are watching the channel and see on Twitter and things like that. And I think people enjoyed the coverage and we're happy to do it. And as you said, our board of directors are, you know, big supporters of what we do and how we're up here at the track and how we're promoting, you know, this is our region, the capital region. So we want to promote it. This is our major league sport. This is our NFL. This is our New York Giants. You know, Saratoga Racecourse is our New York Yankees and our New York Giants. So we love promoting it. It's a great track. And I don't know. I'm afraid next year all our branches are going to be empty because they're all going to be up here at the track. So I hope that's the case. I hope they have their 2021 is the best season they ever had up here. And they know they'll have the support of Capital OTB helping promote it and telling people to come up to the track as we always have done and will do in the future. So, but just circling back, yes, our board of directors, very supportive. And without their support, there's a lot of things we can't do, especially in the COVID. We didn't know how this was going to play out. We didn't know if we were going to be able to do it. We didn't know if we were going to be able to afford it. When we were shut, you know, I don't know if people realize it. We were shut down for 3 months, between mid-March and mid-June, we were shut down other than maybe, you know, we had internet betting account wagering, which actually helped us and helped, you know, at least maintain some level of business. But, we had no idea how this was going to play out, when COVID hit.
A lot of people discovered Fonner.
Yeah. Fonner Park and Will Rogers. Yeah. But it was, we were able to do this, and we had a solid Saratoga meet, and I'm just really happy about that because, in the end, you know, we're going to be able to continue to bring great coverage. And you know, not that it's horse racing related, but, you know, our charge is to generate money for local governments. We have 17 municipalities who are our partners. They expect to see revenues at the end of the year, and that's our charge to, you know, generate revenue. And I think this year, despite the shutdown for 3 months, I think they're going to see, we'll see a profit at the end of the year. So it's hard to believe that I can say that, but I believe that'll be the case. So the counties will see some revenue at the end of the year, some profit, and I'm happy about that, and I know our board is happy about that.
Well, just watching other pro sports during the past couple of months as they've gotten underway, I think horse racing has been the kind of the leader of pro sports, and I think given the fact that there are a lot of pro sports on the sidelines, has drawn new people into the game, and you mentioned maybe the branches are empty early next year if folks have that pent-up demand to come up here, but you said it. We love to have people come up here. Just because we're all fans of horse racing and it's great to be here, but Saratoga makes new fans, and new fans mean we get people in the parlors after the meet.
Absolutely.
That we wouldn't see otherwise. So looking forward to that. And speaking of fans, when you sat down, you mentioned we have a little fan appreciation coming up.
We do. We have a fan appreciation day next Saturday. It's Queen's Plate Day, September 12th. We're going to be doing free food, contests, giveaways, the whole nine yards. We have a great relationship with Woodbine Racetrack, which normally we're up there doing live coverage from Woodbine. Not this year, but I'm sure, you know, hoping next year that'll be the case. But, yeah, we're going to do a big promotion at the clubhouse. So if you're watching and you're OTB, even if you haven't been to OTB all summer, come to the clubhouse on Saturday, next Saturday. We have a live bankroll. It's going to be a lot of fun. Great racing from Woodbine. I think Kentucky Downs might be racing as well. So you're going to have some other tracks that are racing, Gulfstream. So there'll be some solid tracks, and it'll be a lot of fun. And the other thing, just to, you know, we talked about some of the money we gave away. We also did the charity bets for the Times Union, which I think we're gonna give to charities. I think there's five charities we're gonna give a total of over $1,000 to those charities. So that's always fun doing that, and I know they appreciate that, and we get to promote them, and also the sponsors. You know, kind of what gets lost a little bit is, you know, we hope you support our sponsors. They end up, doing some advertising with us, sponsoring us. That enables us to do what we do up here during the Saratoga meet. And you had Leah Auto Group. You had DePaula, Albany Auto Group, Bonaventure Stable, and obviously the Diamond Club Grill, Saratoga Prime, and Bailey's. So, those guys sponsoring us and advertising with us helps us pay some of the bills up here and enables us to do what we do up here during the Saratoga meet. So it's a big collective of a lot of groups that work with us, and it's been a very solid meet. Very happy with the product we put out during the meet for our racing fans in the Capital Region and in Saratoga and upstate New York. And we're gonna continue to do it going forward. So keep an eye on OTB TV. Keep an eye on CapitalOTB.com for a lot of our promotions. And let's give Naira a big day here on their final day. I think they deserve a lot of credit. You know, the easiest thing, and I get it, the easiest thing would have been just stay at Belmont Park. I mean, they could have just said, let's just stay at Belmont. So it took a little courage on their side to come to Saratoga. You don't know how it's going to play out, and you're open to criticism if it doesn't play out the way you hope it does. But I think Dave and his team did the right thing. I think the Saratoga brand is really, is a great brand. I think the numbers are going to bear it out. Yeah, maybe the last couple of weeks have slowed down compared to the first 4 weeks or so. But I think they did the right thing, and congrats to them, and we'll see you at Belmont.
Yeah, that's the game plan. Certainly wrap it up big here. on closing day, and then we move forward again. Kentucky Downs, Queens Plate Day, Belmont opens up again September 18th. So a big fall ahead with the Breeders' Cup and whatnot. John, appreciate the visit.
Yeah,
and,
one last thing is so Roddy Valeni was on. Roddy's usually our first interview. He's actually our last interview of the year. And I should mention Gary Contess, who did a great job, too. Got a lot of our interviews. Thank you, Gary, for doing that. Brought in a lot of great content for us, and we appreciate that. But I'm going to have to put a note down. Roddy's got to be our first interview next year. He's usually is our first interview. So how he was our last, I'll never know. But, Roddy, we'll see you on opening day next year.
That's the game plan, certainly. It was a different year, but, again, has worked out as well as could have been expected given the situation. John, appreciate the thoughts.
Thanks, Seth. Thanks for everything you do for Capital OTB. Appreciate it, and great work up there.
I appreciate that. And speaking of promos, I want to toss in, Mike Callahan said it as he was leaving the set. I'm going to have a couple of bankrolls, I think, coming up on Wednesday at Kentucky Downs, an early pick four and a late pick four. So check out the website this week for that coming up on Wednesday. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm just going to wrap it up for the season and say goodbye. Stay tuned. We'll do a quick wrap-up right after this.
The New York hero, Tiz the Law and Manny Franco to win the Belmont Stakes.
When New York bred Tiz the Law won the 2020 Belmont Stakes, OTB TV was live with owner Jack Nolan to capture all the excitement.
And certainly seeing what he did today, we think a mile and a quarter is well within his range, and hopefully he can prove it at Saratoga Race Car.
For exclusive interviews and racing information, stay with Capital OTB and OTB TV and win more.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to the final 2020 Saratoga edition of Racing Across America. I will just wrap things up quickly here so we can get you to the early edition of Talking Horses. Again, 11:30 post time today up here at Saratoga. But again, you know, I said at the start of the meet, it was going to be a little bit different. We were going to, you know, feel our way around as we went through. And the game plan was to do as well as we've done in previous years, bringing you a little bit of Saratoga, even if we were limited in how we could do it. I think we did that. You know, we started out early in the meet. We had Riley Mott in here, Bill Mott's son and assistant, talking a little bit about their stable. Orlando Noda, who had the big meet, came in with us right at the beginning of the meet as he was on a little bit of a roll. And I said to him, how many wins you shooting for this year? He said six. He went past that. So, again, we had him kind of touting his success early in the meet. Ray Handel came in and sat with us and said, you know, I'm not usually a guy who has first-time starters ready, but I think you have a couple. And subsequently, after that, he had a couple of first-time starters, including, I think, that afternoon he had a first starter. Irish Constitution, I think, was right after he was on with us. Jim Bond was on early in the meet on a Sunday show. Again, he was kind of signaling he was going to have a good meet. Boy, it turned out that way with Jim Bond. Michael Dubb, one of the prominent owners here in New York, and Libby Imperio, talked about the Belmont Child Care Association. Humberto Chavez from the Racetrack Chaplaincy. David Aragona stopped by. Jack Knowlton was on my show. He was on with Brian. Mark Hennig stopped by. Randy Moss had a visit from NBC. Frank Miramati. He was a lot of fun. Dave Dunn stopped by. He's had a good meet. Three wins Sunday, but he's continued to go very well. Safi Joseph in his first Saratoga swung by and joined us. Jeremiah Engelhart was on and subsequently won a couple of stakes races yesterday. We had Mike Stidham on after his win in the Jim Dandy. So And I'm just hitting on some of the highlights, but we had plenty of others. Thanks to Mike Welch and Dave Grenig for alternating on Thursdays and bringing us the Daily Racing Forum perspective. Appreciate that. So it's been fun. And as I say, I think we successfully did manage to bring you the live Saratoga, even though you couldn't be here, and it was a little bit different this year. Brian Addo had Bob Baffert on via Zoom. He had Jack Sisterson on via Zoom. He had Kevin Attard from Woodbine. So again, I think we brought you the appropriate amount of racing information that you would expect, and hopefully it benefited you. It was entertaining, maybe informative, and hopefully helped you cash a couple of tickets. Now my thank yous, always have to do it the last day of the meet. First off, as John Signor said, and as I said to Pat McKenna earlier, thanks to NYRA, New York Racing Association, David O'Rourke, who heads the association. Thanks to NYRA for hosting us again this year, allowing us to set up again on our fabulous Clare Court TV set. It's been a lot of fun to come in every morning. I know how special it has been and how lucky I feel being able to come here and enjoy the racetrack every day. But these mornings as the horses are working out has been great. Thanks again to John Signor and the board of directors who are committed to the television product up here. For years before I was on TV, I enjoyed it as a fan, and I know from the feedback I get, people continue to enjoy our live broadcasts every day from Saratoga. So again, thanks to John and the board of directors at Capital OTB. On the production side of things down in the Albany studio, thanks to Dan Hayes and Dino Cantonacci. They're manning the Albany studio daily as we put out the product, so thanks to them. Up here in our luxurious control room, I laugh. It's just a trailer, but we have made it home for the past 40 racing days. Mick Richards has been putting together some of the promos and commercials you see on the network, but he's also gone out with Gary Contessa and done the Gary Contessa pieces, so thanks to Mick for his work. Brian Dorenzo, our director up here, has done a great job day in and day out directing the morning shows. Brian also kind of figured things out early on as we are socially spacing with our guests. And the first day or two, we were just taking a wide shot with the main camera, and we realized the personalities, the hosts, were kind of hanging off the side of the screen. So Brian came up with the two-box concept that even though we're still 6 feet apart or more, we're on screen technologically right there with the two-box concept. So nice move there by Brian. And also we kind of figured out the Zoom concept as we got into the first few days of the meet, and that has allowed us to bring in some of the guests who otherwise wouldn't have been allowed to come on track if they're local, or guys like Baffert who weren't local to begin with. We've done those Zoom interviews, so that's been great. So again, hats off to Brian Dorenzo directing in the control room. Down in Albany again on the marketing side of things, thanks to Shannon Donovan, Mike Callahan, Charlie Butler. They work in the marketing department. They do a great job getting the sponsors for the show and putting together all the promos that have made Saratoga the Saratoga season so much fun. So thanks to them. On the network here, want to just recognize Brian Netto sitting in the handicapper support, but also Saturdays at the spa. He did a great job there. I thought all the Saturday shows were a lot of fun. The return of Anthony Mormino for the season. Fun to have him back. Sully Crotty sitting in with the play of the day. Some of the handicappers reports. The Big A, Anthony Stabile, who did plays of the day. I know Dick Powell. Want to mention him because he was doing plays of the day over on the radio side for us. So thanks to Dick. Tom Amello, who did a blog for us every week looking at some of the weekend stakes action. Of course, my Sunday co-host, Steve Bick. Thanks to him for popping back on for another summer. Gary Contessa, who did the tape pieces, thanks to him. And, of course, a thanks to all of you, because it doesn't happen without the viewers. And, again, normally, as they say, on the front side in a normal season, I'll get the feedback quite a bit more. But I still, this year, downtown and around town, heard a lot of great comments, and we really appreciate that. And if you want to pass that on to the guys in the control room, viewer mail at capitalotb.com. We'd love to hear from you. Viewer mail at capitalotb.com. Let us know what you think about the programming, and again, so the guys in the control room can get a tip of the cap as well. All right, that's going to wrap it up. I am the finale here for the morning programming. Plenty of great action, obviously, coming up with the afternoon of racing and the 14 races kicking off at 11:30. Empire 6 carryover with a mandatory So plenty of great action here on the network. But as far as the live programming, we'll be back later in the week to kick things off from the Albany studio. But me, I'm going to turn the lights out. I'm the last guy in. We appreciate your tuning in. Enjoy the rest of the day. And we'll see you back in the studio in Albany later in the week.
Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit LeahCars.com. Leah Cars for life. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Here's per capita who broke the maiden at Gulfstream. Got